God is gracious, and He gifts each of us with special abilities. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
God has given us certain gifts according to His grace. By His grace, I'm a pastor. Surely isn't anything Pastor Al has done. I'm like Paul. I'm amazed that God would allow me to do this. But God has given you grace, grace to teach Sunday school, grace to mentor, grace to serve coffee or to usher, to be a greeter, grace to work in the nursery, grace to do whatever God has called you to do in the body for the edification of the body of Christ. It's not about, oh, do I get my jollies out of doing this? It's about how does it bless the body of Jesus?
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs presents The Dwelling Place, where we study the Word of God, line by line, precept by precept. We've been studying the book of Romans lately, and we'll be zeroing in on chapter 12 today. In this chapter, Paul not only teaches us how to effectively live out our faith in a world that is often hostile to the gospel message, but he also provides us with some great insight into how to interact with one another as fellow believers in the body of Christ. To draw this out in more detail, here's our pastor and teacher, Al Pittman.
Well, praise the Lord, the Passion Week, and last week, Sunday being Easter and all, then the wonderful moisture that God blessed us with. And God indeed is a good God. And we're going to continue our study today through the book of Romans. We left off in Romans chapter 12. We looked at verses 1 and 2. Today we're going to look at verses 3 to 9. I've entitled this message, Body of Health. The church ought to be a body of health. And Paul writes here and reminds the church in Rome of that very fact here in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, where we began to read, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy." And that's where we're going to stop today. We'll get into the rest of Romans chapter 12 next time, next Sunday. But I want to talk to you today about a body of health, and actually two characteristics that are essential to the spiritual health of any church fellowship. Those two characteristics that I find here within our text today is spiritual sobriety. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm talking about spiritual sobriety in the sense that a body of believers under the influence, not of the world, but under the influence of God's Word. The second thing that I think is essential to a healthy church body, a body of health, is love without hypocrisy. And what do I mean by that? Well, it could be defined as a body of believers exercising agape love toward one another in their midst. You know, for a lot of people, church is not a living or life-giving organism. Going to church for them is going to a funeral service every week. And who wants to come to a funeral service every week? I thank God that we have a fellowship that is alive, that is a life-giving organism. It's a part of the body of Christ. And sometimes some churches wonder why people don't want to come. And a lot of times it's because the Spirit of God had left there a long time ago. And there's no life in the church. And so nobody wants to come to your church and climb in the casket with you. Things are dead. And the reason it's dead, because a lot of times you will find that it's what's missing is a sobriety of faith, or if you will, a spiritual sobriety, and love without hypocrisy. Anemia. Many churches are anemic. And without the Word of God and the love of God, the church will become an anemic organization. Anemia is defined as a condition in which there is a reduction of the of a number of red blood cells or corpuscles. And that can be because, you know, the deficiency of iron. There's no hemoglobin within the system, and so there's no iron. It's a deficiency. A person cannot be healthy, and it leads to other illnesses and all of that. And I'm not a doctor. I do play one on TV, but I'm not a doctor. I'm not a physician, so I don't know all the medical terminology and all that. But I do know that you become anemic without red blood cells. And this message today is meant as a cure for spiritual anemia within the church. It's for the healing of the body, healing that the blood of Jesus might flow throughout the body of Christ for the mutual edification of the church. What does the blood flowing through the church look like? Well, or healthy red blood cells in the church look like to counter anemia? Well, I think it's found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, where John writes, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood flows freely. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." See, when we're walking in the light as he is in the light, when we're walking in the light of God's word, when we're walking in love without hypocrisy, blood flows. And it produces healthy red blood cells, if you will, spiritually speaking. It brings healing to the body of Christ. So we're going to look at this today. And, of course, the natural question for us is, Lord, where am I in all of this? Am I actually helping the body of Christ be healthy by being involved? You know, as we saw the video about volunteering and all that, my answer is always no. Lord, am I really a part of the body, helping the body to be healthy? Lord, am I loving without hypocrisy, helping the body to be healthy? And if not, here's a good time for us to deal with those things and let God speak to our heart, reveal to us the truth so that we can help this body and the church as a whole be a body of health. The first thing that Paul speaks about here that I find is spiritual sobriety. He said, well, where is that? Well, in verse 3, he talks about the fact that he says, "I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think," I mean, as everyone who is among us, you know, everyone here that is here today, those who hear the sounding of my voice, who read this passage, he's saying, hey, this is the attitude you ought to have, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And he's saying there basically that, you know, even the faith that we have is not something we can boast in, because even the faith we have comes from God. There's nothing that we bring to the table. We can't boast in and of ourselves. He says, think of yourself soberly. You see, without spiritual sobriety, being under the influence of God's word, which corrects our vision of ourselves, by the way, if we don't have spiritual sobriety within the church, then we will have the drunkenness of pride. Pride will enter into our relationships, whereby we begin to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And I think Paul the Apostle understood something about pride. Paul was a proud, legalistic Pharisee. And yet we find him here in a spirit of humility appealing to the church. Because Paul had an encounter with the grace of God. When you have a true encounter with the grace of God, you don't walk in pride any longer. It produces a humility within you. And so Paul says in verse 3, he says, "For I say through the grace given to me." He's not speaking in his own authority. Let me tell you guys what to do. I know more than you know. And this is, he said, no, I'm speaking through the grace God has given to me. The grace is God's grace that I'm able to speak to the Gentiles, to take the gospel into the world. And by the grace that God has given me, that's how we minister to one another, not according to our knowledge and being puffed up in our pride and what I know and my position and everything. We minister to one another according to grace. And so by grace, Paul comes to them and appeals to them. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. God's grace has a sobering effect upon one's life. Notice, however, the Bible doesn't say, do not think highly of yourself. This is not self-deprecation. This is not, you know, beat yourself up, you know, all the time, put yourself down all the time. That's not what Paul's saying here. He says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Amen. You know, a drunk will always think of himself more highly than he ought to. You ever run into a drunk person? Okay, have you ever run into yourself? in the past when you're in the bars and all of that, just how alcohol gives you that liquid courage, guys. Guys that you wouldn't get up in their face for nothing, and you'd be scared of, but you get a little liquid courage in them, you know. You know, I'll never forget a guy telling about a guy who got some liquid courage in him one night and got into an altercation. And boy, he went thought he could take this guy on because he'd been lifting weights and stuff. And he got into an altercation with this guy, and the guy said, "The step is 10 steps outside. Be careful who you ask to step outside." So the guy said, "Okay." Didn't know this guy knew his stuff. Took him outside, whooped this boy so bad, he was trying to crawl. You know, when you're getting beat so bad, you're trying to get away from somebody, they won't let you go. That's a beat down. Liquid courage made a complete fool out of it. Liquid courage, you make us say things and do things. Liquid courage make you think you're wise when you're stupid. Someone once said that pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick but the one who has it. Amen. When we're under the influence of the world rather than the word, we start trusting in the pride of life. What I have. Pastor Al, don't you know who I am? Don't people know who I am if they only knew who I am? When you think of ourselves more highly than other people, it's hard for us to bend down and humble ourselves to help other people. And even more importantly, probably more detrimental, it's hard for us to receive help from others. Pride. The pride of life.
How many times does pride get in the way of a relationship with Christ and a willingness to go to others for help or counsel? Thank you again for listening to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. We're all about sharing the gospel with the entire world. Would you pray about partnering with us financially to help accomplish that goal? To join our support team, please give us a call at 844-221-3363 or visit our website at cwccs.org. And we have a brand new address to share with you for Pastor Al's podcast. It's anchor.fm/CWCCS-podcast. And I'm delighted to say The Dwelling Place is on oneplace.com. You can hear these daily programs via the oneplace.com app on your mobile devices. Or go to oneplace.com on your computer and listen when it's most convenient. Now here's Pastor Al with part two of today's message, beginning with a glance at 1 John chapter 2 and more on the pride of life.
One of the things in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, that John pointed out that is not of God, that separates us from the intimacy that we need to have with God, that pride of life. In fact, pride of life is the reason for much of the economic woes that we face today. I'm not telling you something you don't know. The pride of life, trying to keep up with the Joneses, has often been our motivation for being in the debt that we're in. How do we get into debt? Trying to keep up with the Joneses. Pride of life. Look what we bought. Look what we have. The pride of life. I'm reminded of the story of the clever salesman who closed hundreds of sales, they say, with this line: "Let me show you something, sir. Several of your neighbors said you couldn't afford." Well, they said, "I couldn't afford it. Give me two of them. I'll show them." "Let me show you something several of your neighbors said that you couldn't afford." Wow. Pride of life. I think we need to remember individually, but even more so as a nation, how we need to depend upon God. The pride of life is not what we ought to boast in, but our boast ought to be in the grace of God. In Abraham Lincoln's National Humiliation, Fasting, and Prayer Proclamation, given in 1863, listen to these words, words I pray that our nation will return to. He said, and I quote, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success. We have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us, close quote. Amen, Abe. Suffice to say that no nation nor church can exist for long under the drunken influence of pride. By abiding under the influence, abiding with God in sobriety, is to live according to the wisdom of the Spirit rather than the wisdom of this world. Because only as we as Calvary Worship Center walk in the wisdom of the Spirit of God can we experience the oneness, the unity that we ought to have in Christ as a body of believers. And only then can there be mutual edification one to another. And so Paul says here in verse 4, "For as we have many members, yet we're still one body. And we have different functions. We're not all the same. We have different functions. And so we being," verse 5, he says, "so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." It's just like your human body. You know, you can't say, "Well, I'm going to go into church," but the hand says, "I don't want to go to church." Okay, hand, you stay out in the car. You can't. And we're all going. The whole body comes along. The eye doesn't stay out in the church. I mean, out in the car or whatever. Maybe our ears stay out there because sometimes we don't hear what God is saying. But the reality is that our whole physical body moves as one. That's how the body of Christ ought to be, as a living organism moving as one, mutual edification for all. And then he said, having gifts, verse 6, differing according to the grace. God has given us certain gifts according to his grace. By his grace, I'm a pastor. Surely isn't anything Pastor Al has done. I'm amazed that God is even, I'm like Paul, I'm amazed that God would allow me to do this. But God has given you grace, grace to teach Sunday school, grace to mentor, grace to serve coffee or to usher, to be a greeter, grace to work in the nursery, grace to do whatever God has called you to do in the body for the edification of the body of Christ. It's not about, oh, do I get my jollies out of doing this? It's about how does it bless the body of Jesus? And every one of us in here has been given a measure of grace and a measure of faith to operate within the body of Christ. In other words, folks, there's no place in the church for spectators. Well, I just like to go to church. It's time to stop going to church and be the church. And when you're being the church, you're involved with the church. There's no place for lone rangers. Proverbs says that he who isolates himself seeks his own, when we ought to be seeking the glory of Jesus. And we seek the glory of Christ through his church. And so Paul says here, he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophesying, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. I love that, in proportion to your faith. Well, I've got to know as much as Pastor Al or some seminary professor. No, you don't. According to where you are in your faith, serve God. You don't have to be some spectacular person that's able to, you know, call down fire from heaven. You know, we're having a church cookout and say, "Well, hey, we got some matches here." Forget the matches, Pastor Al. I'm here. I will call down fire for the barbecue. I mean, God's not looking for that. According to your faith and according to the grace of God, be. You know what this tells me? I have the freedom in Christ to be who I am. I don't have to prove nothing to anybody. I'm just Pastor Al. This is what I do. I'm here because of the grace of God. This isn't what I wanted to do in the flesh. What God called me to do. And Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not this gospel. That's a calling. That's something God has placed on my heart. But everybody in the church has a place within the body of Christ. And sometimes we think, oh, I've got to be some spectacular individual. No, you don't. Just be you. You are uniquely who you are. Minister according to the portion of grace and the faith God has given to you. Stop trying to be somebody else. I mean, when I first came to pastor the church, I was changing every week. I was a different pastor. One week you would get Billy Graham, you know. I'd say the buses are waiting. The Lord said, there's no buses out here. What are you doing? Oh, you know. Next week I was somebody else. And yeah, you know, then one week I was, Lord, just be who you are. I've already put everything in you that you need. Amen. You know, we do that because we want to impress one another. but it's God that we must stand before. We must serve one another, serve the body of Christ according to the measure of faith and grace you have. Be yourself. He said, if you're going to minister, then minister. Your ministry to minister to other people. If you teach, then teach. Exhort other people. Some people have that gift of, I have the gift of exhortation, but I know some folks in here who go to our church, they have this gift of giving. If you have the gift of giving, give liberally. I mean, it's not, you know, every now and then they'll come up and say, Pastor Allen, here, give this to somebody. They'll just give. They love to give to people. And, you know, it doesn't have to be monetary. It could be your time or whatever. He who leads, let him lead with diligence. Verse 8, he who shows mercy, you know, he who is cheerful, you know, he who is merciful, show it with cheerfulness, rather. In other words, you know, there's those people in the church that they just love, man, they're the people, when you fall, you want them there when you fall because they're merciful. And they love showing mercy. Mercy, they have that gift. All of us should show mercy, but there's certain people that are like, wow. Man, to be in their presence is so healing because they're so merciful, and they do it with cheerfulness. They really genuinely love you. So he's exhorting the church to exercise and to use their gifts and all this, but according to the wisdom of God, according to sobriety, not drunkenness and pride, self-serving. If I help them, how is it going to benefit me? See, no, do it in the wisdom of God's word. I want you to turn with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Many of you are familiar with these verses. These are very, speaking of sobriety, these are very sobering verses. James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. James chapter 3, verse 13, James writes, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. See, a lot of churches are functioning in this kind of wisdom. Earthly, sensual, and demonic. It's self-serving. Earthly, and that is limited to the wisdom of man. Sensual, in that it only gratifies your flesh. It's all about you. And demonic, because of its origin. And churches splitting and believers hating each other and being hated and devouring each other and fights in the church and all this kind of stuff. All of this comes as a result of envy and self-seeking.
You're listening to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. This broadcast originates at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. We hope you were blessed by today's study in the awesome book of Romans. And if you were, we'd love to hear about it. Email Pastor Al at amen@cwccs.org. That's amen@cwccs.org. And include a prayer request if you'd like to. And you can listen to Pastor Al in The Dwelling Place on all Alexa-enabled and Google Home devices. Simply search for oneplace.com in the skills section of the Alexa app on your phone and hit the Enable button. Now you say, Alexa, ask One Place to play The Dwelling Place. Or on Google Home devices, say, Hey Google, ask One Place to play The Dwelling Place. If you've been blessed as you've studied along with us, perhaps you'd like to help support the ministry. We'd be so encouraged if you would. And you can donate online at cwccs.org. Or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. Our address is Calvary Worship Center, 505 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. If you missed any of that, it's all available at cwccs.org. If you're in the area and looking for a church home, stop by on a weekend to Calvary Worship Center and be sure to introduce yourself as a radio listener. Join us at our Westside Campus or our Creekside Campus. You can find service times and directions for both on our website at cwccs.org. And then, join us next time for The Dwelling Place, when we'll again open the book of Romans with Pastor Al Pittman. Until then, may God bless you mightily as you dwell in His magnificent love.